San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 28, 2024. Today's lesson is I Am That I Am with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome home. Welcome home to your spiritual home, the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Let's anchor ourselves in on this amazing day. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation, and I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty. One, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. Today, we are wrapping up the month of July with our theme of free to be. And so we could ask, what are we free to be? And it's that we are simply free to be who we are. Our beingness is free. In the Bible, John chapter 10, verse 30, it says, I and my Father are one. So what are we being when we think I and my Father are one? We are being intimately connected as one with the divine. And in Psalm 46, chapter 10, it says, return to me and know that I am God. Now, God isn't saying, hey, you who left, come on back over here to this physical place and say to me, yeah, I recognize you, you're God. That's not what that's saying. It is saying, return your awareness to the fact that you already know that I am all that is, and you are part of me. Return to me, return your awareness to the divine, and know that I am God. We know that God is infinite and eternal. So when God says, know that I am God, what he is saying is, know that you are a part of me. That you are made of the divine stuff of all that is. In the Science of Mind textbook, written by Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of the religious science movement, he says, the first great discovery man made was that he could think. This was the day when he first said, I am. And our lesson today, I am that I am. So how did we go from a philosophical statement of man understanding that man is man, that I am, I can think, how did we go to the I am that I am? Well, the I am that I am came first. It is a biblical statement. And it has to do with the story of the burning bush. So I want to give you just a little bit of a biblical story, okay? Once upon a time, the Hebrew people were enslaved and living in Egypt. And the Pharaoh thought that there were just too many of them. So he called in the Hebrew midwives and he said, okay, ladies, when you're attending the births of these Hebrew women, I want you to kill all the male children that are born. We'll keep the girls, keep the females, but we'll kill all the male children. And the Hebrew midwives just couldn't do that. That was against all of their own teachings. So they concocted a scheme that when the Pharaoh called upon them and said, hey, how come there are still male Hebrew babies? They said, well, you know, it's amazing, Pharaoh, because we go to these births and the women, the Hebrew women, are so lively, so vital, that they've already given birth before we get there. So you know, we can't very well take away this live child and kill it. That's not what we do. But, you know, we just, they don't call us until the last minute. And by the time we get there, the babies are already born. Well, the Pharaoh didn't believe that. And so the Hebrew midwives got in a lot of trouble. And there were many fewer Hebrew midwives. One Hebrew woman who was in the family of Levi, got married, and she had a little boy child. And she kept that little boy child until it was 3 months old. And then she went down to the river where the royal family, the Pharaoh's family, was known to go. And she took her son and put it in a basket and set it in the river. The Pharaoh's daughter found the basket with the little boy baby in it. And she said to one of her servants, go find me a Hebrew woman to nurse this baby. So then the mother of the baby came out and said, oh, hi, how are you doing today, basically. And they go, look, it's a Hebrew woman, and look, she can nurse this baby. So they gave the baby back to its own mother to be nursed and raised. After a while, the child grew a bit and was returned to this daughter of the Pharaoh, who named the child Moses because he was found in the water. Moses then grew up as the child of the daughter of the Pharaoh. And when he was an adult, now keep in mind, when he was little, he was being raised by a Hebrew woman, technically his own mother, but he didn't know that. As an adult, one day he saw an Egyptian beating and getting ready to kill a Hebrew for some offense. So Moses looked around, and he saw there were no witnesses, so he killed the Egyptian. Pharaoh heard about it, so clearly there was a witness somewhere. And Pharaoh wanted to kill Moses, but Moses ran away to the land of Midian. And there he met one of the Midian priests, and he married this Midian priest's daughter. Time passed, the Egyptian king died, the Pharaoh died, and Moses was still in Midian tending the flocks, the sheep, of Jethro, his father-in-law. And God came to Moses. There was a burning bush. It was burning, and yet it wasn't being consumed by flame. It wasn't like, okay, here's this dry bush, it's on fire, it's going to crackle, and the fire will go out. No. The bush was still there the entire time while the fire was burning. And so Moses was scared and wouldn't look. He turned his back. And then finally, God said, hey, turn around and look at me. I'm God. And he said, I want you to go deliver the Hebrew people out of Egypt. This is a really convoluted story, isn't it? We're thinking, how does all of this play into I am that I am? Well, this is the root. The burning bush is the source of the statement, I am that I am. So Moses said, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And this is in Exodus, the third chapter. and the 11th verse. And Moses said, when I go to the people and I tell them, the God of your fathers sent me, they will ask me his name, your name. What shall I say? When Moses goes to the Hebrews and says, hey, your God, the God of your fathers, sent me. Yeah? What's his name? That was the question. And God said unto Moses, this is Exodus 3, verse 14, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. God is naming himself, I am. I am that I am. Everything, every word, every miracle that Moses did and said, it was the I am that was doing it. And the Bible said, just like God said to Moses, this is forever and shall always be remembered. And since it's always got to be remembered, it's rather nice that the religions have picked this up and they talk about the I am. The I am that I am. Now we have a picture on the wall that says, I am who I am. Now that's just a different translation from the same verse, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. I am who I am sounds a bit more personal. I am warm and cuddly who I am. Where I am that I am sounds less personal, more toward a thing than an essence. But however we say it, it is the exact same. It is the same thing. It is the same essence. It is the all in all. It is God. And notice whether it says who or that, it still says I am. Dennis Merritt Jones wrote a book, How to Speak the Science of Mind. And what he does is he has different terms that he then describes. And on page 46, he says, I am that I am. The quote, I am, unquote, is the highest name of God. He writes, because God is both personal to us as well as a universal presence, the I am is also both individual and universal. As we begin to walk in the I am consciousness, we heal all sense of separation from God. God in me, as me, is me. Affirming I am is the most powerful statement we can make. The impartial law of mind operates in such a way that we place the I am in front of whatever we place the I am in front of, we tend to become. So we can say, I am peace. And the peace that passes the understanding is present in us and we experience it. We can say, I am love. And we feel that infinite, unconditional love. And when we are feeling it, we express it. And when we are expressing it, people experience it in our presence. I am that, whatever that is, and all things are the I am in action. I am being the divine presence. in me, as me, is me. So we're clear on where the I am that I am and the I am who I am came from. Good, good. Okay. So also, in the Science of Mind textbook, page 69, Ernest Holmes writes, God as spirit is conscious life. This is the inner meaning of the teaching of the I am. God did not make God. This is self-evident. What he's saying is, of all the things in the universe that God made, God didn't make God. God simply is. And when all of the things in the universe have been created, they are created out of the one source, which is the divine. Everything is made of the divine. The chairs, the plants, the floors, the sky, you. You are made of the divine. I am made of the divine. Ernest Holmes also says, our recognition of truth is its pronouncement of itself. And when a man says, I am, it is God proclaiming his own being. So if I say, I am, the God within me is saying, I am Connie claiming what she is. I am Mark or Noble or anyone claiming the God essence that I am within them. When they say, I am love, what is really being said is God is love, and this is an instance of God, a human that is made of God, expressing itself freely as being the presence of the divine. We are free to be. We have that infinite freedom as the presence of the divine. You can't move freely, speak freely, eat freely, be free, unless you are comfortable with yourself. So now that you know that the divine is you, the I am that you are is the I am, you can be more comfortable knowing that whatever you do is filled with the essence of spirit, is filled with the essence of the divine. Everything you do, everything you touch, you are so powerful. Not in a lifting weights kind of a way. The I am-ness that we recognize is all powerfulness. It's the omnipotence, the all power. It's the omniscience, the all knowing. It's the omnipresence, everywhere present. It is the I am that is who you are, who I am. So we can say that I am love, light, life, wisdom, grace, or water. There's a poem that I simply love, and I'm sure that I pull it out at least once a year. It's by Noel Frederick McInnes, and it's called Flow. And our monthly theme of free to be works well with this poem. Be as water is without friction. flow around the edges of those within your path. Surround within your ever-moving depths those who come to rest there, and fold them, while never for a moment holding on. Accept whatever distance others are moved within your flow. Be with them gently as far as they allow your strengths to take them. And fill with your own being the remaining space when they are left behind. When dropping down life's rapids, froth and bubble into fragments if you must, knowing that the one of you, now many, will just as many times be one again. And when you've gone as far as you can go, quietly await your next beginning. We are all that is. You are all that is. Ernest Holmes wrote, "Act as though I am and I will be." Act as though I am and I will be. And that's to remind you that when we remember who we are, when we remember to remember who we are and what we're made of, the I am-ness that is all powerful. In the glossary in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes defines I am. He says, "The I am is both individual and universal. That is, the individual I is part of the universal I am. The I am consciousness means that part of the thought not only affirms its unity with God, but also understands the meaning of its affirmation. So if I'm saying, I am that I am, I'm understanding, we hope, that that means my individual incarnation is the same as the source that I am. I just happen to be a unique incarnation. But we need to remember that. Ernest Holmes says, "In this divine awakening, there seems to be an inner witness who remembers that we came from a heavenly state." We came from a heavenly state. And the author, the poet Walt Whitman, wrote, "From this hour, I ordain myself loosed of limits and imaginary lines. I am larger, better than I thought. I did not know I held so much goodness. I did not know I held so much goodness." Another book that Ernest Holmes wrote is Can We Talk to God? And I want to read part of it to you. This is from page 8. He writes, "We are intelligent. We think, know, and understand at least something. Can we suppose that we are accidents? Can we believe that the works of William Shakespeare are the result of an explosion in a type factory? No. There must be, and there is, a universal consciousness which directly responds to our thought and is in contact with it. Not only does the human heart long for such a possibility, but the human mind comprehends, understands, senses, feels, and knows it. There are moments when the individual consciousness feels itself merged with the universal. Then it knows and no longer asks for explanations. The heart longs for, the mind comprehends, and the intellect needs such a contact. The influx of divine ideas stimulating the will to divine purposefulness. How can we assume that we could be unless being itself is a fact? Could we recognize anything unless being itself is a fact? Could we recognize anything unless that which recognizes existed before the thing that is recognized? With what it is then that we recognize, unless it is some intelligence within us that is in unity with the great and final intelligence, the eternal being. So what he's saying is, we recognize the divine because it's already within us. If it weren't within us, we couldn't recognize it because we wouldn't know it in the depth of our being. And there is no difference between our nature and the great self. God is that it is. God is all there is. I am one with God. Therefore, God is all that I am. I'm not something else because there's nothing else to be. Also in Can We Talk to God, Ernest wrote, God speaks every time a scientist discovers a new thing, every time an inventor invents a new thing. God speaks, and whenever truth is proclaimed, God is speaking. He wrote in The Science of Mind, our recognition of truth is its pronouncement of itself. And when a man says, I am, it is God proclaiming his own being. God proclaiming his own being. I am that I am implies everything that I see, I am that. Everything that I know, I am that. Everything that is, I am that. Daisy Baum, in her book, Studies in Divine Science, wrote what she calls meditation for an increased realization of truth. And I want to share that with you. I am that spirit which is immortal. I am that peace which is freedom. I am that health which is changeless. I am that wisdom which is perfect. I am that nature which is harmony. I am that life which is eternal. I am that law which is order. I am that activity which is equal to every demand. I am that success which is prosperity. I am that supply which is abundance. I am that love which is conscious unity. This is the truth of my divinity. It is a series of affirmations of the I am that I am, of the I am who I am. Page 20. In Can We Talk to God, it says, within our nature is a reality which knows no difference between itself and the great self. It is this indwelling I which Jesus referred to as the Father indwelling him. Since this real I must be perfect and can produce only perfect effects, it follows that perfect cause already inheres. That means is inherent. Not alone in the divine, but also in the human, since the human is divine. Somewhere within is the mount from whose lofty peak the eye beholds the world as one vast plain and one boundless reach of sky. From this inner visioning and our reactions to it flows the power of our lives. So we are what we are. I am that I am. You are what you are. You are the great I am. You are the very presence of the divine. I want to close this with a meditation by Betty Ritchie McClellan. Be still, my body. Rest. Relax. Let go. Let go. Breathe in God's love. Breathe out tiredness and strain. I'm resting, Lord. Take charge. Be still, my heart. Cease to worry, fret, or care. Beat steady, slow, and sure. I feel nothing, God. You are all. Thy will be done. Be still, my mind. Be quiet and know God is. All is well. O God, infinite intelligence, I'm listening now, quietly listening. Speak, O Lord. Be still, my soul, I'm empty now of me. Ready for the presence and the power, fill this empty vessel, Lord. Yes, Lord, now I hear. Be still and know that I am God. Still, deep, deep still. Now I know you are here, within, without, I in you and you in me, life of endless unity, one with your light, your life, your love, your joy, your peace, your power. All that I am is you. I am that I am, and so it is. I am that I am. I am who I am. A greater truth has never been spoken. I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.